So a slight change from the original title. It is we've now added some collections to the study, so it's now Genetic Diversity of Tall Fescue Cultivars and Collections using microsatellite marketing. That changed after the initial date for Ghanaian titles. So as we all know, tall fescue is a major turfgrass species. It's a C3 cool season grass. It's one of the broadleaf fescues, as opposed to those fineleaf fescues like the hard fescue and Chewing's fescue. And the turf people, as you know, love the endophytic fungi that helps against pests. And generally speaking, it grows in a bunch type form, but there are some rhizomatous varieties and is adapted to much of the continental United States. Other names you'll see for it in the literature are Stuka arundinaceae and Chidonorus arundinaceus. Notably, for what we're talking about today, it is an allohexaploid. It has a very large genome size of between 5.27 and 5.83 gigabases, and it is an obligate outcrosser. So, there are three genomes in tall fescue. It has two copies of the G1, two copies of the G2, and two copies of the P genome. The G1 and the G2 genomes were contributed by the tetraploid Lolium arundinaceum variety Fennis, also called variety Glaucians, and the diploid Lolium pratens meadow fescue contributed that P genome. And we've got on the left we have the tetraploid and the diploid on the right. So tall fescue is kind of interesting in the way it's been categorized over the years. There are three morphotypes that have been described. There's the continental type, which is where most of the forages and turf types have come from, and this mainly comes from Northern Europe and is summer active. There's the Mediterranean type, which has incomplete summer dormancy. We see that from Northern Africa, some of Italy, and the Middle East. It's kind of funky because your continental and Mediterranean hybrids have irregular meiotic pairing, and hybrids with the rhizomatous type, which is sort of a subtype of the continental morphotype, are sterile. So over the past too few decades, there have been a number of studies, and this is just the citations are just sort of the earliest study I could find using that methodology. But there have been morphological studies to characterize and classify tall fescue, looking at seed proteins, RFLP markers, AFLP markers, SSR markers several, many, many times over, ITS and MAT sequencing, and so the most recent addition to this list is DART markers. There is also a RAPIDS paper, but I can't read it because it is in Chinese. So for this study, we used 172 tall fescue populations. Each population is represented by 16 individuals that we run our PCR on separately. We used 106 cultivars, 99 turf types, and 5 forage types. The bulk of those turf types came from the 2012 NTEP test. And there are 66 collections that I will go into a little bit in a minute. There are seven populations from other species additionally to the study. We have the meadow fescue, Lolium pratens, the diploid tall fescue, and both perennial and annual ryegrasses. We use 29 different microsatellite markers. 4 of these are EST markers, and 25 of these are genomic markers. On average, we found 14.28 bands per marker and 414 total polymorphic bands. That's from a larger set, about 2,000, but those 414 are the ones that are the most informative and most consistently scorable. Since it is a polyploid, we lose a little bit of a benefit of having SSR, which is their codominant. But so we have to score them as presence absence, so it's a little more like AFLP in the way they're scored. But polyploids are fun like that. So our collections came from mostly in the Middle East. So we have Morocco, Turkey, Central and Northern Italy, Caucasus, Romania, and one from Latvia. The reason the Mediterranean area was focused on was because this is the center of origin for the species. And this is why when workers have done collections, they've collected from this part of the world. It's also a lovely area in a lot of cases, so I'm a little jealous people got to actually go collecting. So we ran an AMOVA analysis, similar to what we saw in the previous talk. We found that 75% of the variation is found within population, 25% is between populations. And this is fairly standard with an outcrossing species like this, and consistent with other published data when it comes to tall fescue. We also, within this, we found that all the cultivars, with the exception of Six Point and Rambler, were able to be distinguished as separate populations. Also, sort of notably, that the two annual ryegrass only multiflorum accessions were not distinguishable, but were using tall fescue markers on a different species. So we developed a neighbor joining tree. We used this rooting with perennial ryegrass. And overall, the turf types are grouped together, and they are in red, with the collections grouping together. Those are in the green, with forages in the yellow grouping together, and those really match the breeding history well. And the outgroups are in a light blue. That doesn't show up too, it shows up really well on that screen. So let's go into this a little more. So here is a subset of that data. So the most notable thing about the turf types is that this really does match the breeding history quite well. That you're finding things that are used, that they were used the same plant in crosses and going back, that this is coming close to the breeding histories. However, these are very, very short nodes and are very, very closely related. So going a little further, that this, if you look at the bottom on the right, those are some of the new dwarf varieties. Those are also, again, very, very, as we get more and more selection, you're seeing more and more of this tight grouping. But you're also seeing some, in the pane just above that, you're starting to see some of the collections, and those, as I mentioned, the geographic area tends to group together with all of those from Romania grouping together and grouping with the turf types, actually. And you also see another Romanian type, another collection from Romania with those turf types. So let's go into the collections. So just kept a little bit at the top there, you see that it's going to remain the same, just to give you an idea of where on the tree it is. But again, you're seeing that this pane here is actually sister to the turf type pane that I had. So that this whole half is sort of broke down really nice into two big halves, which probably suggests that grouping of morphotypes works out here. But overall, we're seeing that countries match up, cities match up within these collections. Now, here things get a little interesting. So this pane here, we start to see the turf types and the forage types and the outgroups. The forage types are, in this case, you see that the Kentucky 31 and Jessup are grouping with that Fennis, which is the tetraploid. And you're seeing another group of forages with Atlas, Fawn, and Teton. And over again, you see overall that the outgroups are grouping together. Now, there is one weird discrepancy here, that Grande 3 should be a turf type. However, that group of the outgroups, since then we have run ITS. We've done some ITS sequencing on a few samples, and that sample is, in fact, the ITS matches more with the Festuca pratensis, Lolium pratens, the diploid progenitor of tall fescue. So tall fescue has been bred for turf types for about 35 years now, and those were mostly collected from the United States, which means that's not the center of origin from those initial collections. Those are a bottleneck from what those initial collections, and since then, these breeding program, the breeding has led to sort of some more and more selection on a small sample of data, and these mostly all do trace back, if you read the breeding histories, to Rebel or other plants that were used in the generation of that cultivar. However, the good news is there is in fact a wide diversity of germplasm of tall fescue globally that can be introduced into breeding programs, that can be used to bring in new genes and new material in. Additionally, in the future, we're going to be doing some Bayesian cluster analysis on this data, and we are running chloroplast SSRs, and that'll help give us some more ideas about species relatedness. I'd like to thank the people in my lab, like Dr. Bonus, Dr. Meyer, Dr. Josh Honig, everyone else in the lab, like Chrissy, Jen, Austin, Eric, and Dirk, and the Rutgers Center for Turfgrass Science. Are there any questions? No, they weren't. A lot of times those seeds are not easy to obtain. And we initially started to do this in two batches of data. We initially had taken stuff from the end to the 2012 NTAP test. So I don't think those were entered in the test.
Any other questions? No? Thank you, Vincente.